praised. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Victory in the house. Amen. We walk by faith, not by sight. Amen. There's something going on in your life that is not right, something that is not good. That's all the devil wants you to see. Amen. He doesn't want you to see that there's a God. Even when I don't see it, he's working. Amen, amen, amen. Prophet on top of the mountain, praying for a drought-ending experience. And he sent his servant out. He comes back and said, I don't see anything. That's all the devil wants you to see. He doesn't want you to see that there's a God that's beyond the sight of your eyes. There's something brewing. There's some condensation. Some moisturizing up from the ocean out yonder. You can't see it, but it's working. Amen. Go look again. What do you see? I don't see anything, prophet. Amen. But I know what God said. God said at the beginning of this chapter, I will send rain. And I know, according to God's creative power, that if there's going to be rain, there must be a cloud. Go the third time. What do you see, servant? I don't see anything. But on time number 7, he said, prophet, I see a cloud like unto a man's hand. Whether it was shaped like a man's hand or whether it was so far off, it was about the size of a man's hand in perspective. I don't know. It don't matter. All that does matter is that I see something. Amen. If we went by sight, we'd have stopped praying a long time ago. But we're going according to the word of the Lord. We're in a season of Holy Ghost apostolic revival and harvest. We've been praying for this. We've been looking for it. Amen. It took it a while to get here to this point, but I'm telling you, there's more where this come from. I hear. Come on, we've been seeing the hand, but now I'm starting to hear something. I hear some Holy Ghost thunder roll. I see the Holy Ghost power as it flashes across the congregation. I hear the sound of an abundance. Hallelujah. My. Amen. While you're standing, please turn with me in your Bibles to Hebrews, the 13th chapter. Amen. I appreciate the liberty of the Holy Ghost that's in this house. Amen. All of you that have had a part of this service, thank you for your participation. Amen. All the faithful saints of the Lord, thank you for your faithfulness to the house of God and to the Spirit of the Lord and to the Word of God. To our guests, both first time and repeat, thank you for helping make our day. Amen. Amen. We're going to have good church whether you're here or not because Jesus is going to be here, but you help make our good church even better. Because this is why we have it. Amen. Of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. If you have never experienced the gospel, amen, you have an opportunity to be a part of what God is doing in the earth at this time. Amen. Yes, amen. We're talking about more than repeating a sinner's prayer and shaking a preacher's hand, right, signing a church card, accepting Jesus as your personal Savior. Amen. We're talking about a lot more than that. We're talking about experiencing the gospel. Amen. The Apostle Paul said he was not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God. Amen. There's no power in accepting. There's no power in repeating. But there's power in obeying. Amen, amen. And so I want to preach my heart. Amen. I don't know what all God wants to do, but I know He wants to do some great and marvelous things. I'm challenging every one of you, no matter where you are in the process of salvation, don't stop. Amen. If you've been to this altar, come back. If you've never been, you will have a chance. The Lord tarries is coming. Amen. To pray in this altar with church family praying around you. Amen. Amen. If the Lord comes before I'm through preaching, you'll have to come to the altar by yourself. I don't think that we'll have any trouble. Amen. Having somebody in the altar at that time. Amen. I want to be ready when He comes. That's why we're reaching for these things. Amen. Don't leave early today. We're going to be baptized in Barry Builder in Jesus' name. The conclusion of this service for the remission of his sins. Thank God for revival in the Builder family. Amen. Sister Jennifer, it's good to see you in the house of the Lord today. My. She's facing a surgery tomorrow, and your church family is going to be holding you up in prayer. Amen. Amen. God is good. Hebrews 13, beginning in verse 7. Amen. I don't want to get in trouble with my favorite mother-in-law by not acknowledging that Sister Tyson is with us here today. Thankfully, it takes a little bit more than that to get in trouble with her. Amen. Verse 7 of Hebrews 13. Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow. Amen. Thank God for good examples. Considering the end or the result of their conversation or their lifestyle. Amen. That's something good to consider. Amen. If you have confidence in your man of God, follow their example. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. Be not carried about with divers or different and strange doctrines. For it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace, not with meats which have not profited them that have been occupied therein. What he's talking about, amen, he's writing to Jewish Christians, and there's that constant tug and pull from what we can now call Judaizers, always trying to impose ceremonial law aspects upon the church. This was a crossing over from one dealing with God to another. Amen. There are people that are living for God in apostolic churches that used to live under the law. Amen. They've brought sacrifices. They've come to the priest. They've gone through all the ceremonies. They grew up in the Hebrew faith, the Jewish faith, the Mosaic law. Amen. And Paul is writing to them. Amen. It's not about what used to be, because that really never fixed the problem. All the sacrifices just pushed judgment ahead. It never solved the problem. It did not profit them. Amen. It does not profit them. Those that are still involved in that traditional religion, there is no profit in it. It does them no good. Amen. Verse 10, we have an altar whereof they have no right to eat which serve the tabernacle. Another statement emphasizing that the law has been indeed fulfilled. It's no longer about the Levitical priesthood. But the Jews have to turn from their religion to experience the power of Christianity, just like the Gentiles have to turn from their pagan religion. So those that are still entrapped in religious tradition can't partake of this. You've got to lay that down. You've got to lay down your religion to get a relationship. If it's all form and fashion and tradition, and I do this just because this is what we do. Amen. If there's no real relationship in that. Amen. I'm not, minimizing the necessity of separation and holiness. If that's what you're listening for the wrong thing. Amen. Separation and holiness is a mandate from God. We don't do this just to fit in. We do this because we love God and we want to please Him. This is what He's looking for. Amen. Verse 11, for the bodies of those beasts whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin are burned without the camp. Wherefore Jesus also, that He might sanctify the people with His own blood, suffered without the gate. Let us go therefore unto Him without the camp, bearing His reproach. For here have we no continuing city, but we seek one to come. By Him, by Jesus, therefore let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. But to do good and to communicate, forget not, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased. Obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves. For they watch for your souls as they that must give account, that they might do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. Amen. Amen. Verse 10 again. We have an altar. How that verse begins with those four powerful and important words. We have an altar. You have an altar. Won't you make it personal and say with me, I have an altar. I have an altar. I want to preach about that today. Would you help me preach the word of the Lord? Are you hungry for His word and for His spirit today? Would you lift up your voice? I love you, Jesus. Your name, oh God. I praise you, Jesus. Oh, in the mighty name, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Amen. Let's see what God will do before we're done here today. Please be seated. Now, most of you that I am preaching to today have a far more than average grasp of biblical concepts. You know about the role that altars have played down through the years in God's plan for humanity. You can't really adequately talk about what God has done with man without talking about altars. Amen. Altars that were erected by men and sacrifices placed thereon. And we'll talk about some of those men here in a moment, Lord willing. In many cases, the altar was the central focus of relationship between God and man. The altar was where they met. Amen. Between the lines of Scripture, we can hear the voice of God. I'll meet you at the altar. I'll demonstrate my power at the altar. I'll manifest my will at the altar. What I would call spiritual transactions, very few of them ever took place in your Bible without an altar. Amen. Again, the altar is one of the central things that God has always involved in His dealings with mankind. How can you talk about an altar and not talk about the friend of God, the father of the faithful, Abraham? He was an altar builder. We read in Genesis 12, the Lord appeared unto Abram and said, unto thy seed will I give this land. Now, Abram has a response. There is a reaction to this promise. Amen. The Bible says in the very next words in your Bible, and there builded he an altar unto the Lord who appeared unto him. You would say, what's the big deal? You've got your promise. You don't need an altar. Oh, no. I need an altar more now than ever before. This is going to help the promise be fulfilled. Amen. I want to be a promise receiver and a promise responder, not a promise collector. Amen. Amen. God has afforded me the opportunity in my involvement in apostolic ministry to walk in many apostolic churches and to grace many apostolic pulpits. Thank God for real apostolic churches. But I've noticed here and there a tendency that bothers me, and that is, it's in the, like in the spirit, there is in the foyer of that church a trophy case, and they have erected monuments and reminders of promises of God. Amen. I'm telling you, God doesn't give you a promise for you to put it in your collection. God gives you a promise to motivate your faith. It's not about remember when. Amen. God said, I've given this to you so you can do something with it. Amen. Amen. A response to a promise is building an altar. Amen. We're going to improve our relationship. We're going to improve our connection with God. I want more relationship with this God of promise. And so I'm not just going to do what I've been doing to get another promise, but I'm going to do right with the promise I've been given and build an altar unto the Lord. Amen. Amen. Sometimes the human tendency is, well, what I've been doing got me a promise, and so I'll just keep doing what I've been doing. Amen. All that'll get you is another promise. It won't get you the fulfillment of the one you've already been given. The promises of God are contingent. If my people will, then I will. Amen. If God gives you a promise and it never comes to pass, more than likely or without exception, it's not because God forgot, or it was not because God lost his power. It was because you did not keep your end of the bargain. God has promised forgiveness, but you've got to repent. God has promised remission, but you must be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin. He has promised you the Holy Ghost. Jesus said, amen, tarry until you be endued with power from on high. The promise of the Father will come upon you. But that didn't make it happen. It made it available. They had to leave the mountain and go to town. They had to get in the upper room and go to prayer. Oh, hallelujah. What are you doing? We're doing something with a promise. We're building an altar unto the Lord that has spoken with us. Verse 8 of Genesis 12, Abram removed from that place unto a mountain on the east of Bethel. He pitched his tent, and there he builded an altar unto the Lord. Yes, sir. Yes, he did. Do you notice a trend here? God gave him a promise and he built an altar. The process of life and the unfolding of God's plan, amen, involved him changing his address. But he did not say, well, I know where an altar is. He said, if I'm going to live somewhere, there's going to be an altar there. Oh my God, I refuse to live without an altar. I refuse to live without a connection with God. Genesis 13, He went on his journeys from the south, even to Bethel. Notice, unto the place where his tent had been at the beginning, between Bethel and Ai, unto the place of the altar. Amen. He went back to the altar. It wasn't just leaving where I am and finding somewhere else to go, but I know where I'm headed. I've got somewhere to arrive. There is an altar. There is a connection with God. There is a promise in my response. Hallelujah. Abram removed his tent, Genesis 13, and came and dwelt in the plain of Mamre, which is in Hebron, and built there an altar unto the Lord. You can just mark it down. If Abraham picks up his tent stakes and drives them down somewhere else, there's going to be an altar when he gets where he's going. He's going to build himself an altar. Amen. Amen. I want to encourage, amen, all the parents in the house. And, man, as the number is increasing, the prospective parents in the house. Amen. Thank God for revival within and without. But altar builders produce altar builders. Altar builders beget altar builders. Isaac, the Bible says, digged again the wells of water which they had digged in the days of Abraham his father. But you can notice how this unfolds. The Philistines had stopped them after the death of Abraham. And so Abraham dies, and the adversary, the neighborhood bullies. Why would people that live in that area stop up a well? Amen. Water in a desert is of extreme value. Why would the Philistines stop up the wells? I don't know. You'd think that they would appreciate it, but they stopped the wells up after the death of Abraham. Verse 19 of Genesis 26, his servants, Isaac's servants, digged in the valley, found there a well of springing water. The herdmen of Gerar did strive with his herdmen, saying, the water's ours. He called the name of the well Esek, because they strove with him. They digged another well and strove for that also, and he called the name of that Sitna. He removed from there and digged another well, and for that they strove not, and he called the name of it Rehoboth, and said, for now the Lord hath made room for us, we shall be fruitful in the land. He did not stay there, like father, like son. Amen. He went up from thence to Beersheba, and at that place the Lord appeared unto him that night. Oh my God. Isaac got a visitation like his daddy got. And he said, I'm the God of Abraham, your father. Don't be afraid. Fear not, for I am with thee. I will bless thee and multiply thy seed for thy servant Abraham's sake. Oh, hallelujah. The previous generation got a revival promise, and they built an altar. Amen. And Isaac got that same kind of promise. What are you going to do with the revival promise? The very next words in your Bible read, and he builded an altar there. Oh, if I'm going to experience the promises of God, I'm going to have to establish a God connection. I'm going to have to make room for more of God in my life. His son Jacob came to Shalem, a city of Shechem, which is in the land of Canaan. When he came from Padan Aram and pitched his tent before the city, he bought a piece of ground, a parcel of a field, and he spread his tent there. And his next task was, and he erected there an altar. Three generations of altar builders. We've got to maintain the connection. I want you to notice they didn't just hang around the altars that their dad and their grandfather built, but they built their own. I'm worried. I'm very concerned about people that it's good enough for them for what somebody else has done. And they're constantly, thank God for a firm foundation. Thank God for heritage. Thank God for a legacy. Thank God for all of that. But, amen, but if you want your children to build an altar, you got to have more than an altar building daddy. If you want your grandchildren to be altar builders, you've got to have more than an altar building grandfather. You have got to build an altar. You have got to have an experience with God. Amen. The number one priority in your life is that I have got to maintain the connection between me and God. Amen. In Moses' tabernacle plan in the wilderness, the altar was the first object inside that outer court. When you walked into the tabernacle property, the first thing you saw was the altar. You couldn't just walk, amen, in the door, amen, and go straight into that inward tabernacle. Amen. You couldn't walk in a straight line. You have to go around the altar. But you can't go inside until you first stop at the altar. God have mercy. The altar is what qualifies you to go beyond the veil. Everybody in religion anymore, they want the light from the candle. And they want the bread from the table. And they want the incense from the altar. But I'm telling you, you can enjoy the benefits of heavenly communion without first stopping at the altar. Not just going by it, and certainly not going around it. But you've got to spend some time there. I'm bucking a religious trend. Unfortunately, even in apostolic movements. Amen. We don't want them. I'm not talking about these altar benches. I'm talking about a sacrifice. I'm talking about an obedience. I'm talking about a sincerity. We just want to come to church and have a good time. Amen. Thank God for shouting and dancing and aisle running. But there's a price to pay. Amen. Amen. If it's just all the frills of it that entice you, you need to understand today there's a price, amen, to pay for the light from the candlestick. There's a price to pay. There's a sacrifice somebody made for that altar to have bread on it and for that incense to come up into God. Those pieces of furniture have been sanctified by blood shed on the altar. So it's not just any piece of furniture, but it's been consecrated by blood. It's why you can come to an apostolic church and say it's different here. Not just because of our face, our hair, and our sleeve links, but there's a difference in the atmosphere. We've been sanctified by blood. Amen. We've had blood applied to us. Amen. That's why the light shines a little brighter in here. That's why the incense is more sacred and pure in here. That's why the bread, the word, is more rich in here. Because we didn't go around the altar. We didn't bypass the sacrifice. I'm preaching to somebody right now. Amen. If you're wanting just to show up and throw down, find you somewhere else. But if you want to go to heaven, you found the right place. If you just want to find a church with good music and a good program, we've got all that. Amen. That's all you're looking for. Find somewhere else to go. But if you're looking for something pure, something holy, something sanctified, amen, welcome home. We have a lot of traditions here, but it's not about our tradition.
It's about our relationship with the God of promise. Come on, let's build an altar. Let's establish a connection. Let's make room for more of God. Come on, let's pray together right now. Come on, I feel revelation trying to happen. I said, I feel it. I feel conviction coming. Amen. Stop going around the altar. Young lady, young man, amen, sinner friend, you gotta go to an altar.
Oh my. Be seen. You know what will happen to you if you go into the tent without going by the altar? You'll die. You won't last very long among the candlesticks, the table, and the altar of incense. Unless you go by the altar. Unless you experience, unless you got some skin in the game. Unless you have a personal contribution. Amen. David built an altar. The threshing floor of Ornan the Jebusite. As a matter of fact, the man of God came to him and said, "You need to build an altar. You need to build an altar. Don't you know who I am?" Yeah, I know what you are, but I also know who you need to be. What you are is king, but who you need to be is an altar builder, sir. Amen. Your position and the level of respect you have in your community does not override the necessity of you to build an altar. Amen. He built there an altar unto the Lord. Offer burnt offerings and peace offerings. And this is what the Bible says. The Lord was entreated for the land, and the plagues were stayed from Israel. David had made some bad decisions. David got lifted up in pride. It became about how many we are instead of the God that we depend on. Amen. Look how big our army is. Look at all our resources. Look at all that we have done and all that we've amassed. And God said, it's not about you. It's about the God that gave it. It's about the God that allowed it. It's about the God that caused it. And a plague began to spread throughout the land because of pride, because of spiritual independence, because of taking God and His goodness out of the equation. And the only way to get back into good graces with God was to build an altar. We read this about David's decision. I will not offer burnt offerings unto the Lord my God for that which doth cost me nothing. If I'm going to do it, it's going to cost me something, or it will not work. I read of his son Solomon in his temple dedication, honored with fire from heaven. When he made an end of praying, the fire, the Bible says, come down and consumed the burnt offering. Where do you think that was going on? At the altar. And the glory of the Lord filled the house. There can be no glory without an altar. The glory that we're going for as a church family is an impossible destination in the absence of an altar, a sacrifice, a personal contribution. Amen. At Elijah's experience on Mount Carmel, again, I referenced this earlier about the cloud and the servant. But Elijah said unto all the people, 1 Kings 18 and 30, come near unto me, listen to this,
And all the people came near unto him, and he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. There was already an altar there. There used to be an altar here. Look at the mess we're in. The pagan religion that has bound this nation. The godlessness. And now, because of this, the judgment of God through lack of rain. Drought was not because God was mean. It's because the people of God had rejected the altar.
You're right.
Amen. And Elijah said, you know what? If we're going to have revival, if we're going to break out of religious bondage, if we're going to get out from under the yoke of pagan religion and religious tradition, we're going to have to go back, amen, to an altar. Go back to some sacrifice that those before us made when everything was as it should have been, and repair the altar of the Lord. If there's things that you're struggling with that you can't get the victory over, why don't you repair the altar? Amen. If there's things in your life that are dried up spiritually, why don't you go back to an old altar that you've been neglecting? Why don't you examine the remains of an old altar and say, you know what, I'm ready to get back to the right with God. I'm ready to be everything God wants me to be. And he repaired the altar of the Lord. Apostle Paul writes to the Jewish Christians in the epistle to the Hebrews. He was emphasizing that this altar, the cross, was not like any other altar. It's not just another altar. But the death of Jesus Christ on the cross satisfied the righteous demands of the law. The law always required more blood, more sacrifice. You could offer it every day, but tomorrow we got to do it again. We could have atonement today, but guess what? This time next year we'll need some more blood, more sacrifice, more blood. More sacrifice. Amen. It wasn't good enough. It wasn't enough. We got to have more. Just imagine with me. It's nigh unto impossible, but the multiplied millions of gallons of blood that was shed from the garden through the Old Testament. Incalculable amount of blood. Why was there so much bloodshed? Because no matter how much we do, it's never enough. I can satisfy the demands for today, but when tomorrow becomes today, there's more demands. Amen. And the law demanded more blood, because the blood that was given was not precious blood. Amen. But Peter declared to his writings to the church, we've not been redeemed with corruptible things, such as silver and gold, from our vain conversation received by tradition of our fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without spot and without blemish. The blood of Jesus Christ did what the blood of bulls and goats could never do. Oh, the blood of God in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself. Amen. I don't care how pure that lamb was. It was never pure enough to make it right again between God and man. No matter how much blood that ram had to offer, Amen. No matter how much blood that ox had to give, it was never enough, amen, to get back the relationship that had severed through sin between man and God. It could never redeem humanity.
But Jesus came, he said in his own words, not to condemn the law, but to fulfill. I've come to satisfy the law.
And when he cried on the cross, it is finished.
The Bible said he cried with a loud voice. The last amount of strength he had to give before he died. The Bible says, Brother Short, that when he cried, he hung his head and died, that the veil in the temple was ripped apart from top to bottom. Amen. It's like God reached down and says, you know what? The law's fulfilled. The price has been paid. Now it was ever, amen, it used to be every now and then for a select few. It used to be one man once a year could go behind the veil. But now whosoever will. Amen. The law said you can't come. You don't have enough blood. You're not qualified. You don't have the right kind of blood. But when Jesus shed his blood, when precious blood was shed on the altar of Calvary, it wasn't a pile of rocks, but it was rough-hewn timbers. Amen. That a man, amen, was nailed to for the sins of humanity. And when he cried, it's finished. The law was satisfied.
Well, let's lift our hands and praise the Lord right now.
I'm not trying to preach over anybody's head. I'm just trying to help you understand. Amen. The blood of Jesus is not just blood. Amen. It wasn't just another man. Yes, he was a prophet, but more than a prophet. Yes, he was a preacher, but more than a preacher. He was the Messiah. He's the Son of God, the flesh of God. He's God come from heaven into the world as a man to bring back relationship.
Son of man is come to seek and save that which was lost. Relationship between God and man has been lost because of sin. The only thing that'll give it back is the blood from an altar. Sacrifice. Sacrifice. I like how Paul says this. We, I preach about Abel and the first altar we read about. That's his altar. I read about Abram. It's Abram's altar. Isaac's altar. Jacob's altar. Israel's altar. Their altar. But the Apostle Paul declares it's not about their altar. It's about ours. And we have one. I have an altar. When Jesus died and paid that price,
oh my God,
his cross became my altar. His sacrifice became payment for my sin. And when the devil comes and says you're never good enough, Amen. I sell Satan. Come to me. Come with me to my altar. I promise you, before you get to the foot of the cross, the devil will be nowhere to be found, because he hates the blood. There's too much precious blood for the devil to hang around my altar. I know it was his sacrifice, but he did it for me. He who knew no sin became sin for us. Reconcile the world unto himself. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. We have an altar. Amen. Hell is screaming in someone's ears. You disqualified yourself. You've been too bad. You've gone too far. You've done too much. You'll never get right with God.
But I'm preaching about an altar that belongs to you. You need to go back to it.
Let's pray right now. I feel the Holy Ghost helping. I won't be much longer. Let's obey the husband mind, the Spirit of God right now. Ooh, conviction wants to step into this room right now. Hey, in the name of the Lord, in the name of the Lord, when I have a need, I have an altar. I have somewhere I can go. If I need relationship with God, I'm saying it for you, I have an altar. If I need healing, I have an altar. If I need direction, I have an altar. If I need forgiveness, I have an altar. Maybe you've never heard the cross preached quite like this before. Remember, this is how Paul wrote about it. We have an altar. He's talking about the cross. He's talking about Calvary. He's talking about the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. He's talking about the price that was paid for our redemption, our forgiveness, and our salvation. And he called it an altar. I know we have altar benches. Amen. This is a good place to come. Amen. If you're in this building today, I encourage you, don't stay in your pew, but come to an altar bench. Amen. Come up front. Amen. And feel after God. Amen. This is a physical place, but it just helps you get to a spiritual destination. Amen. Sometimes when I'm at home, I go to my altar. I can be driving down the road and go to my altar. I can be working around the house and go to my altar. I can be out of town on vacation, flying on a plane, and go to my altar. Because we have one. You have one. I have one. It's the cross, and it's yours if you want it. There's enough for you if you need it today. Your altar requires what altars have always required: obedience and effort. Your altar will do you no good with no effort on your part. You gotta go to the cross. You gotta obey the gospel. God can forgive any sin that's repented of, but he can forgive no sin unrepented. God can wash away any and every stain of sin, but you must obey the gospel in baptism. You've got to submit yourself to apostolic authority and recognize your spiritual insufficiency. I've got to have some help to be saved. I'm not holy enough by myself. I need, my blood's not good enough.
But his blood is more than enough. And I need his blood applied to my soul in baptism. You can be an upstanding citizen. You can have friends run out your ears. You can be real respected in your social status and standing. But they that have not the Spirit of Christ, the Bible says, are none of his. You can belong to any number of political, religious, and social groups, but you don't belong to Jesus without the Holy Ghost. But God's not going to make you. He will not force entry into your heart. He only goes where he's invited. But everyone that invites him, everyone that obeys him, whosoever will you come to an altar? Will you be baptized in Jesus' name? Will you receive the Holy Ghost? Will you respond to a Holy Ghost invitation? Will you get out of your pew and come pray? Whosoever will drink the water of life freely. But you can sit there in the same service that someone else gets delivered. You can stay bound if you won't. Whosoever will can, but everybody that doesn't never will. You determine the level of experience that you have with God. Well, I got me a promise. I want to know, have you built an altar? Have you established a connection and a relationship between you and the God of your promise? Let's stand and lift our hands right now. Music, please come. Holy Ghost wants to take us somewhere very, very, very special right now. In the name of Jesus. Church, would you help it happen? Come on, let's invest ourselves right now. Somebody invest your faith even more in Jesus' name. There's no better way in this service to declare your faith and desire than by stepping out of your pew and coming to an altar. You have an altar, but you'll never experience the fullness of it until you take that step that declares, I mean business with God. Church, pray with me right now. Come on, let's pray sincerely, effectively, and fervently. Come on, call upon his name. We want the will of God right now. Come on, I need somebody that knows how to pray to do what you know how to do. Somebody come boldly. Because we don't have a high priest that's not touched with the feelings of our infirmities. He's passed into the heavens. Let us therefore come boldly into the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace. Somebody needs some mercy today. You have an altar. Somebody that needs direction today. You have an altar. Somebody that needs forgiveness today. Come on, keep coming. Keep coming. Keep responding. Church, keep praying. Hallelujah. Let us come boldly unto the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy. Pray, somebody. Pray in the name of Jesus. We have a high priest. Amen. He doesn't have a grave marker. He's not buried in the earth. He's passed into the heavens. He's Jesus, the Son of God. He wasn't just the high priest. He was the sacrifice. He was the slayer and the slain. He was the priest and the sacrifice and the altar. The propitiation for our sin. The mercy seat where God met the blood.
Jesus Christ, where the spirit and the blood meet. That's why there's healing in this house, because the spirit and the blood have met. The spirit of God and the blood of man have met and come together. They came together in Jesus Christ, Son of Man and Son of God, made of a woman, made under the law. When the fullness of time was come, God was manifest in the flesh. The Spirit of God and the blood of man were united, and mercy happened, forgiveness happened. Oh, I feel the Holy Ghost ringing in my soul right now. Oh, if I could, I'd talk in tongues for you. I'd repent for you. I'd get baptized for you. I'd receive the Holy Ghost. But I can't do that. You got to do it for yourself. Church, are you helping people right now? I know we can't all fit around the front, but everybody can pray. Everybody can make a contribution. Come on, let's step it up right now in the Holy Ghost. If you want to come help somebody, please do. Don't just stand there and watch, but let's be a part of this. There's room for more. Come on, let's pray. Let's go in the spirit where God is calling us to right now. In the name of Jesus. Therefore, on the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon Him, for He cares for you. Brother Waldrop, you don't know what a scandal I've been. You don't know the trouble I've caused. You don't know the trouble. You have an altar. You can do something about it. Somebody needs to resurrect an altar today. Somebody needs to repair an altar.
Rescue to the sin stain.